Hi everyone, this is Dr. Margaret Paul. I'm really happy to be here with you this evening talking about defining your own worth. So I will be discussing what creates high self-worth, low self-worth, how to define your own worth. Then I'll be taking questions from those of you on the phone, as well as answering some of the questions that many people wrote in. And about halfway through the seminar, I'll take a couple of minutes to explain to you what we offer to you for support. Of course, you don't have to buy anything from us to get great value out of the webinar this evening. So I'd like each of you to take a moment right now and think about how do you define your worth? What defines you? Is your worth defined externally? Is it defined by other people's approval? Is it defined by your looks? Who do you give that power to? Is it a partner? Is it parents? Is it anybody? Is it about how much money you have, the kind of car you drive? These are all ways of defining your worth externally. The problem is that when you define your worth externally, there's nothing permanent about it. You know, you're going to get older. You could lose your prestige, your status, your performance could go down. So that, you know, if you're defined by something external, external things can always go away. And then what happens to your sense of self? And when you define yourself externally, you've got to keep proving yourself over and over again. You know, there's always the fear that somebody's going to disapprove of you. So when your worth is defined externally, that means that with each person whose opinion of you matters to you, you've got to keep on proving yourself. You've got to keep on saying the right thing, looking right, acting right, performing right. This is actually a really hard way to live. And it's exhausting to have to constantly prove that you're okay and that your worth is dependent upon what somebody else thinks of you. That's a really, really hard way to live, which is why we're doing this webinar, to talk about a completely different way of defining your worth. So let's talk about intrinsic worth. What is intrinsic worth? Think for a moment about who you really are. I'd like everybody who's on this call to take a moment right now and close your eyes and take a deep breath. And I'd like you all to imagine that you have an older, wiser self that is in spirit all around you. That your soul is very big, way too big to fit inside your body. A part of your soul is in your body, and that part of you expresses as your feelings, but a part of your soul is all around you. It's way too big to fit in your body. And that part can communicate through thoughts and images. And so imagine that part of your soul as your higher self, as an older, wiser part of you. And imagine that this older, wiser part of you is looking at you from the inside, not from the outside. Maybe looking at you as you were as a small child, looking at you on the inside. And see if you can look at yourself through the eyes of your higher self, through the eyes of love, not through the eyes of judgment. And what do you see? What do you see when you're not looking at yourself through your ego eyes, your wounded self eyes? Can you see your intrinsic goodness? Can you see your kindness or your creativity or your sense of humor or how loving you are or how sweet and kind and generous you are? Just look at these intrinsic qualities. Think about how you were as a little kid before you decided that you were not good enough. What kind of little kid were you? Imagine you as a little baby Is there any baby not deserving of love? And is that little baby in you intrinsically worthy just for being? So intrinsic worth are the endearing qualities that do not go away with age. They are who you truly are, who you truly have always been. And this is, you have the choice to define your worth by your intrinsic qualities rather than by your looks or your performance or your money or by other people's approval. Now, who you really are, you might not be able to see that yet because, you know, many people have been very programmed as they were growing up to see themselves as flawed, as defective, as unimportant, and we all built our ego wounded self to cover up what we thought was not good enough, which of course is good enough. And so your true self, your intrinsic worth, may be hidden beneath the programmed beliefs of your wounded self. And so it may be hard for you to access that. But this is, you know, a big part of what the inner bonding process is about. It's about learning how to access your higher self and see yourself through the eyes of your higher self rather than through the wounded eyes that have been programmed into you. So I'd like to talk about the fact that I believe we all have basic goodness. I think that when we're born with a spark of the divine within us, and that basic goodness is within everybody. And I remember the day that I decided to define goodness for myself, because I, like everybody else, I grew up believing that I was not good enough, that I was in some way flawed, not important enough, inadequate, because I didn't get the love that I needed. And so I decided that the reason I didn't get it was because there was something wrong with me and that I just wasn't good enough. And one day I started thinking about good. Well, what's good? How would I define that? And I realized that I had been letting everybody else decide whether or not I was a good human being. That if they liked me, I was good. If they didn't like me, I wasn't good. So I decided to try and figure out for myself what I thought good was. What's basic goodness? And I decided that a good person is a person who doesn't consciously and deliberately set out to hurt other people and get pleasure out of it. Now, I know that I can't remember doing that. I mean, I think sometimes people do that when they themselves have been very wounded and they take it out on others. But even underneath that, there's a part of them that doesn't feel good about that. So I made the decision that since I, as an adult person, I don't set out to hurt other people. I don't consciously set out to hurt other people. And if I do, I certainly am not happy about it. I don't get pleasure out of it. And so that made me decide that I'm a good person, that I have basic goodness. And that started to make a very big difference in how I started to see myself, because once I decided that I was a basically good human being, then I could stop proving to everybody that I was good. I didn't have to prove it anymore. And I had the right to make that decision, just as you have the right to make that decision about yourself. So defining your own worth means that you need to learn to connect to that higher source. However you see that higher source, your higher self, God, spirit, a guardian angel, a teacher, whatever works for you, that you get to see yourself through those eyes, and that you're defining yourself through those eyes, and you're defining yourself through your intrinsic qualities of kindness and caring and goodness and creativity and humor and all the things that you are individually, that you value and the things that you would really value in others that you can see in yourself. Now, one of the things that's very important here in defining yourself is to understand that we all have a wounded self. And our wounded self can be not nice at all. It's the wounded part of us that may actually set out to deliberately hurt somebody or may get pleasure out of that. The wounded self is not the basically good part of us. The wounded self can do really bad things. And some of us have. We've done bad things and we feel ashamed and we're afraid for people to know that. But the thing that's important to recognize is that the wounded self is not who we are. The wounded self is who we learn to be. And if you define yourself by your wounded self, you're always going to be having to prove something. I mean, all of us, I don't think there's a single person on the planet that hasn't done things that they're ashamed of, that they don't want anybody to know about, that they wish they hadn't done. And all of those things were done by the wounded self. And one of the things that leads to healing is for us to embrace that, to embrace our humanness, to embrace decisions that we've made that weren't good, to embrace times we've hurt others with compassion, and to really get that that wounded part of us is not who we are, that we are our essence. We are that soul self inside. We are that place of basic goodness that every single person has within them. But if you're allowing the wounded part of you to judge the bad things that you've done, the harmful things that you've done to yourself or to others, you're never going to be able to get beneath that to see the beauty that you really are. And so one of the things that has to happen in order to define your own worth is that you need to compassionately accept your wounded self. You need to get to know that part. That part of us is controlling, is manipulative, just wants to, you know, get love and avoid pain and feel safe and have control over all of that. We've all got that part. And it's so important for us to embrace that part of us with compassion, with love, with understanding, with kindness, and recognize that that's not who we are. That's who we learned to be when we were growing up and we didn't get the love we needed, and we needed to develop this part of us to manage the heartache, the loneliness, the helplessness of childhood. And we made a decision when we were very young that who we really are is not okay because we weren't being loved, so who we really are must not be okay. And we went about creating that wounded self, and then we think that's who we are, and then we define ourselves by that part of us. And once we do that, then we constantly need other people's attention or approval or validation to think that we're okay, because we really don't think we're okay. And when we think that our wounded self is who we are, we're not okay, because the wounded self isn't okay. It's not the part of us that was created by God. That's our essence. That's the basic goodness within us. It's the part of us that we created, not that God created. And there's a huge difference between what we create and what God creates. And it's very, very important, if you're going to define your own worth, to realize that you need to be looking deeper inside at who you truly are, at the essence of you, that who you came in as in the world, who your soul truly is, and define yourself by that soul essence. But since we all had a wounded self that decided very early when we didn't get the love we needed that who we are is defective and not good enough and inadequate, as long as you treat yourself as if this is true, by ignoring your own feelings, by judging yourself, by turning to various addictions and avoiding taking responsibility for your feelings, by making other people responsible for your feelings, you are abandoning yourself. And you are creating your low self-worth. I'd like to go through that again, because these are four major ways that I have found that most people abandon themselves and create their low self-worth. when you stay in your head and you ignore your feelings, you're telling yourself that you're not important. If your feelings are not important, you're not important. If you turn to various addictions to numb your feelings, it does the same thing. It's like you're telling that little child inside, you don't count, you're not important, I just want to blot you out, I want to numb you out. When you judge yourself, you're basically saying to that essence inside, you're no good, you're bad, what's wrong with you? And when you hand away responsibility to other people, again, the message to that child inside is that he or she is not important, is not any good. Somebody else has to like you for you to be okay. So every time we abandon ourselves in any of these ways, we are reinforcing that belief of the wounded self that we're not good enough, that we're inadequate, which is a huge false belief. Now, it's not enough to tell yourself that you're this beautiful, wonderful child of God. It's not enough, for example, to stand in front of a mirror and do affirmations and tell yourself how terrific you are. You can do that all day, but if you're judging yourself and you're not attending to your feelings and you're making other people responsible and you're turning to various addictions, there's no way that you're going to believe the affirmations. Affirmations have to be backed up by action. And so what really creates a deep sense of worth is when you make the decision that you really want to start to love yourself rather than abandon yourself, that you want to love yourself rather than ignore your feelings, that you want to love yourself rather than judge yourself, rather than turning to addictions, rather than making others responsible, that you want the responsibility, that you want to be the one to be seeing and valuing and taking action for yourself. When you start to do that, that's when you're going to be believing whatever affirmations you're telling yourself. That's when you're going to start to believe that you have worth. We cannot believe we have worth when we're treating ourselves badly. There's just no way. So the path to this is, or one path, is practicing the inner bonding process. Because when you learn and practice the six steps of inner bonding, that pathway will take you through discovering the beliefs, the false beliefs that you have, take you into learning to connect with your higher guidance, into accessing the truth and the loving action. And then when you're willing to take the loving action in your own behalf, you'll begin to see that you start to automatically feel better about yourself. Anytime you're really taking loving care of yourself, you're going to naturally feel better about yourself. So if you really want to develop a high sense of self-worth, then you need to be learning and practicing the inner bonding process. It's such a very powerful process for developing high self-worth. So I'd like to take a few minutes now to tell you what's available for those of you interested in deepening learning or deepening your experience of inner bonding. One of the things that I do is I have a six-week support group with eight people in it, and that's the least expensive way of working with me directly. So every 6 weeks, you know, new people come in, people leave, other people come in. If you're interested in being a part of that group, you can call our office at 888-6-INNER-BOND and talk to Valerie, our lovely assistant. We have a wonderful membership site that has a tremendous amount of support for learning and practicing inner bonding. It's an incredible community of people who are open and caring and compassionate, help you not feel alone in your healing process. We have a sliding scale there from $9.95 a month all the way up to $49.95 a month, depending upon the benefits. And if you go on the site and click on Join Inner Bonding Village, you can get a free 7 days, and you can see what level would be right for you. We have two 12-week e-courses. One is an intimate relationship toolbox, and the first 2 weeks are free, and this is for people who want to strengthen their relationship or move into a much better relationship or deal with conflict in their relationship. Then we have a weight loss course, and this is also the first 2 weeks free. And if you go onto the website and look at the courses, you can get your first 2 weeks free. I do individual and conjoint sessions on the phone, as do other facilitators. And again, if you want to make an appointment with me, you can call 888-6-INTERBOND. On the site, there's a list of all the facilitators with their information. I do five-day intensives, and the next one is in February in Santa Barbara, and the schedule is on the website under Events and Retreats. I hope all of you have taken our free course. It's a very, very good e-course. If you haven't, go to the site and click on the free 7-day course, and you'll begin to learn inner bonding. And so, of course, I do these webinars every few weeks that are also free. There's a lot of free information on our – we have a new website. It's just been up a week and a half, and there's a lot of free information. There's a box there that says free help, and you can click on that and get help in a whole lot of different areas. So there's lots and lots of ways of getting help on the website. Again, the phone number is 888-6-INTERBOND, and the website is innerbonding.com. So a lot of people have written in questions, and there's many of you on the line. If you would like to ask me a question and you're online, you can press star 7. And star 7 will unmute you. Star 6 mutes you. Star 7 unmutes you. And if you want to do some work with me, that would be great. Other people can benefit from the work that I do with anybody, and you can get a little taste of inner bonding. So is there somebody on the line right now?
Yes. My name is Kathy.
Okay. Pardon me?
My name is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi there.
How can I help you?
Thank you so much for the work that you do.
I have some
familiarity with what inner bonding is, and I keep getting hung up on my past behavior, and it's judgments that I have against myself for things that I've done in the past.
Uh-huh.
And I am challenged.
Well, let me do a little bit of work with you right now with that, okay, Kathy?
Okay.
So I'd like you to breathe in and just take a moment to get present inside. And when you look inside to the part of you that's judgmental of things that you've done in the past, how old do you think the part of you is who judges?
I think...
When did you start judging?
When did I start judging?
Yeah. I mean, did you start judging when you were 6 or 12 or 15?
Probably 5 or 6 years old.
Okay. So let's assume that wounded part of you who judges you for past behavior is 5 or 6 years old, okay?
Okay.
And I'd like you to really move into your heart and open to learning, and invite in compassion into your heart so that you're in an adult state. And I'd like you to ask that part of you, the judgmental part of you, you know, there must be a good reason that you're judging, and I'd like to know what are you trying to control, or what are you trying to avoid by judging? And go inside and let that 5 or 6-year-old answer that question.
She's telling me to keep it from getting any worse.
Okay, so she has a belief that the only way to keep you from doing worse things is to judge you. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So she's just trying to protect you. She's just trying to make you feel safe, this part of you, because she has a deep belief that judging you will keep you from doing worse things.
Yes.
And where do you think you learned that when you were growing up? Who was the person that judged you the most?
My half-sister.
Okay, so that's probably that wounded part of you has probably integrated your half-sister into you.
Yes.
And so that voice that you hear is probably very much like the voice of your half-sister, who definitely probably wanted to control you. And you absorbed all that.
Right.
Right? Okay. Now, I'd like you to open to that higher self and ask, is it true that I stop myself from doing worse things by judging myself? Is that really true?
No.
So what's the truth?
The truth is, as I learn and grow, I stop doing things that I would judge myself for.
Yeah, and in fact, when you judge yourself, you feel bad, right?
Right.
Are you more likely to do unloving things when you feel good or when you feel bad?
When I feel bad.
Right. So is it quite possible that judging yourself makes it even harder to not do the things that you're judging yourself for?
Yes.
Is it possible that if you were truly loving to yourself, that then that wouldn't be a problem anymore?
Yes. I'm just ashamed.
Yeah.
I feel very ashamed.
Honey, if I had a chance to do some deeper work with you, I would love to help you with that. We all have aspects of ourselves that, you know, we're not happy with. We did things that we're not happy with.
Yeah.
But we did them for some good reasons. We did them out of fear. We did them out of false beliefs.
Yeah.
And so what's so important here is for you to bring some compassion into the part of you that shames you and blames you and judges you.
I can do that.
Yeah. And realize that she's just trying to keep you safe right now, but it's not a loving way to be safe.
Yeah.
Shaming yourself is always, judging, shaming is always a form of control. It's what the wounded self does to try and control.
Okay.
But it makes you feel so bad that it perpetuates everything. Whereas if you start to love the part of you, the wounded part of you who does the shaming and the blaming and the judging, then that part of you actually starts to feel safe and doesn't need to go to shaming and judging. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Okay, I'm going to take a question that somebody wrote in. This is Della Reese from Hartsdale, and asks, what is the role in parenting towards self-worth? And I think this is an important question because I think parents play a huge role in self-worth. One of the problems in a lot of today's parenting is that many parents do a lot of praising of their children, but they praise them for their performance rather than for their effort. And the research indicates that when children get praised for their performance, they start getting scared, they want more and more approval, they get afraid to try new things, their self-esteem goes down rather than up when they get praised for performance. Whereas when they're praised for effort, it makes them feel really great, and it gives them the motivation to work harder. And so you can help your children with self-esteem by praising for effort but not for performance. You could also help your children have self-esteem by how you treat yourself, because you're the role model. If you're judging yourself, no matter how loving you are to them, they're going to absorb that. They're going to take on what they see you doing to yourself. They're going to take on the same level of self-judgments, even if you're not judging them. So I really want to encourage those of you that are parents to do inner bonding and learn how to really love and value yourself. It's one of the greatest gifts that you can give your kids, is to learn to love and value yourself, because they will absorb that. They will say, well, gosh, you know, my parent loves and values him or herself and loves me. I must be okay. Whereas if the parent loves the child but doesn't love themselves, then the child thinks, well, if my parent doesn't love themselves, how can I really have worth? So there's a whole lot around that, but I'm just going into it a little tiny bit. Okay, is there anybody else on the phone who wants to press star 7 and do some work with me? Okay, I am going to go to another question. How do you believe in your own worth? This is Alina. This is Alina in Ireland. How do you believe in your own worth when the people around you still just see you as a child or constantly chip away at your confidence? So I think this is an interesting question, Alina, because what you're saying is that you believe that your worth is still being determined by what other people are doing. They see you as a child. They chip away. But you see, what they're doing is they're reflecting how you feel about yourself. So I want to encourage you to look inside and see if you see yourself as a child. See if you are chipping away at your own confidence. See what you're doing that's not loving to yourself. Because this isn't really about other people. You can believe in your own worth anytime you want by practicing inner bonding, learning to see who you are, learning to define yourself. It doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. So as long as you believe that your worth or lack of it is coming from how other people are treating you, you're going to be stuck. So I want to encourage you to learn and practice the inner bonding process. Okay, is there anybody else on the line?
Hi,
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, this is Max.
Whoops, got two people. Okay. Max, can you wait one moment? And
sure,
I'll take
sure.
you next, but somebody else. Okay, who was that spoke up?
Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie. How can I help you?
Okay. Well, I'm a little bit confused about how to go about, you know, how to make the actions that go along with making the decision to love ourselves. Because instead of, like, judging, I would think the opposite of that would be something like an affirmation. Or
No, the opposite of judging is compassion.
Okay.
The opposite of judging is acceptance. It's moving into an intention to learn about your beliefs, about where they came from, about why you're judging yourself. See, affirmations, I don't have anything against them. It's just that they don't work very well. Just saying an affirmation is not an actual action. If you were to learn and practice inner bonding, you would see that it's a very compassionate process, that you learn to open and invite your spiritual guidance in and bring in that compassion to embrace the judgmental part of you. Not just with words like an affirmation, but with actual action, and that you learn how to take loving action by connecting with your higher source of guidance. Step 4 of inner bonding is connecting with your higher guidance and asking, what is the loving action? Because it's going to be different in every situation. You know, if a kid came to you, for example, upset about something, you wouldn't just sit there and give them affirmations. If the child, right?
Yeah.
If the child was upset, you would sit them on your lap, you'd hold them, what's the matter, you know, you'd try to find out why are they upset, is there anything that you did, how can you help them? I mean, you would get with them and learn and grow and understand with them. Well, you know, if you just sat there and gave them an affirmation, they'd kind of look at you puzzled and blank and, you know, what's that about? Well, it's the same thing with the child within. Just giving ourselves an affirmation doesn't deal with what's really going on. Whereas practicing inner bonding does. It allows you to get down into the false beliefs and explore them and where you got them and what you're trying to control by them and what you're trying to avoid feeling and then what the truth is and and then what action you need to take based on the truth. It's completely different than just saying an affirmation. Does that make sense to you, Stephanie?
It does. The only thing is I was trying to think about how, you know, what to do, it, you know, because that's a very kind of drawn out process. But if you're in the moment or you're in a conversation or you're going somewhere and you're noticing yourself, you know, judging or getting in your head or whatever, and you're able to catch it and be like, okay, I'm doing that, how to kind of get out of it, you know,
okay,
without interrupting the flow of your day by going through that whole big process.
Well, it actually doesn't have to be a whole big process, because at that moment, I mean, this may take you some practice to be able to do in the moment, but at that moment, if I'm in that situation, what I do is I just ask a simple question. I say, what's loving to me right now? And when I really want to know, the answer comes immediately. If I'm talking to somebody and something's not feeling good, or realize I'm judging, or the other person is, or there's something not right in the interaction, and I say, what's loving to me right now? I'm going to get an answer right away. So I want to encourage you to start to practice that, just very simply. In any situation where you don't know what to do, just ask the question, what's loving to me right now? What's in my highest good right now? And see what happens, because ideas will pop into your mind, images will pop into your mind. That's coming from your higher self. But when you ask the question, it's like you're opening the door for answers to come in, and they can come in very quickly.
Okay.
Are you willing to practice that?
Yeah, definitely.
Good. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
And Max, how can I help you?
Yes. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay, yeah. Hi. Thank you, Margaret. You basically answered my question there, because I was just going to ask, applying the principles of, like you said, praising a child for their effort, not their performance, is a key thing in the development of how to healthily raise a child. And
right.
I'm asking the question, when I'm going through the inner bonding process, as I've been very rather devoted to it lately, sometimes I feel like I need to applaud myself for just my effort, even though there may not
right.
be like, okay, and I'm just asking, that would that be appropriate then for me to love me, so to speak?
Absolutely, it would be. And in fact, I encourage people to do that throughout a day, is to notice what you're doing that is loving to you, and to comment to yourself about it, to value yourself for it. And also to value your essence, like if you see yourself being particularly kind or creative or funny or generous, value that. Say, you know, say, oh my God, you know, you are such a generous little boy, or that was such a kind thing to do, or oh, that was really funny, or you're so creative, or whatever it is, to value that and to even say it out loud. I mean, I've gotten in the habit, because I've been doing this for so many years, that I say it to my little girl out loud. And my little girl loves to hear that kind of approval from me. When she gets it from me, and she doesn't need to go seeking it from others.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, I know I'm in progress here, but for sure, that's the part, because like a lot of this is invisible work that only Max is doing with Max, so to speak.
Right.
And I'm in environments right now at the holidays where it's interesting that I mean, so much of this is invisible, and that's why I'm asking, because the dialogue is with the inner bonding process, it's just, but that helped, it gives me direction. I thank you. That was my only question.
Okay, great. Is there anybody else online?
Hello.
Yes, hi. How can
I
help you?
Yes, I was, okay, long story short, I had like this man that I was very connected to, the kind of the love of my life, and we broke up about 11 years ago. We stayed connected spiritually or otherwise over the last 11 years, and we hung out last week, and I can only explain the reaction my body has when I'm with him is it starts shutting down. It just starts shutting down, whether I get migraines or I get numb or I get sick. I just start shutting down, and so I practiced the inner bonding, you know, process, and I meditated and I prayed and I laid there and I worked out. I just tried to do whatever I could to stay connected to myself and not self-abandon, because I'm not sure what's going on. And then the last thing I'll say is just to, like in 8 days, I lost 10 pounds. I think because of the adrenaline that my body was producing, you know.
Let me get clear, because I'm not, you broke up with him, but you've been spending time with him?
Well, we broke up 11 years ago, and we've both stayed in love with each other over the last 11 years through all the different things that have happened, just from far away. And then we started hanging
out. When you're with him, your body shuts down?
Yes. When I have a fear thought and I create it myself, or after I'm with him, my body starts shutting down, and I don't know why.
Well, you know, that could be a fairly complicated situation.
Of course.
Your body could be shutting down because there's something you're picking up with him. Your body could be shutting down because there's some way you don't take care of yourself. You could be shutting down because you feel him trying to control you or engulf you, and you're in resistance.
Yeah.
I mean, there's many reasons, but what you would need to do is go in to the part of you that's shutting down with a deep intention to learn.
Yes.
And find out, you know, what are you doing? How are you treating yourself? What's going on between you? What's creating fear in this situation that's causing you to shut down? It's likely that there's some way that you're not taking care of yourself, that there's some way you're abandoning yourself.
Yes.
That's causing you to shut down.
Yes. Yeah,
and so you would have to explore that to see, you know, how are you abandoning yourself?
Yes, that's what I was really trying to do. And I, you know, I did the best I could, you know, but I,
right.
it's a strange feeling because I know we both love each other very much, but yet I have this reaction and it's, you know, it's just hard. So I'll just keep working on it.
Well, you know, systems and relationships can be very subtle, and oftentimes, you know, it takes a third person to see what's going on in the system that's leading to that kind of reaction. I mean, I could probably tell you why, if I was working with the two of you and seeing the energy between the two of you, why this would be happening. So.
Yes. No, thank you.
Okay.
That's perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to take one more of somebody that wrote in. This is Russell. He says, I do not have a history with depression, but I have found myself often depressed since my girlfriend broke up with me 6 months ago. I wish I had some tools to use every day for the times when I'm feeling stuck. Do you have any suggestions for what I can do? So, Russell, I really want to encourage you to go to Inner Bonding and take our free 7-day course, because what's happening here is that your girlfriend broke up with you and she took a part of you with her. In other words, you gave her responsibility for some aspects of you. You abandoned yourself in some ways with her and handed to her this little boy in you. When she broke up with you, it's like that little boy got left by her. And you need to reclaim him. You need to be picking him up and holding him and valuing him and learning to love him. And that's what Inner Bonding is about. And he's going to be depressed until you really learn to love and value him, rather than giving him away to some woman or making a woman your higher power. So I really want to encourage you, Russell, to learn and practice Inner Bonding. Okay, I can take one more online if there's somebody online that would like to work with me. Seems to me I heard somebody in the background.
Hello?
Is there any? Yes?
Hello? Hi.
Yes, hi, I can hear you. What's your name?
Amber.
Amber. How can I help you, Amber?
Hi. My friend and I were a little confused when you said the question, what is loving to you right now? We were confused by that.
Okay. What is your confusion?
I guess we just don't understand, like, you're supposed to ask what is loving, what's going on that's loving in that situation, or?
No. What loving, what would be a loving action to me right now? You know,
okay.
Let's say I'm in a difficult situation, or somebody is blaming me, or I'm having a difficult interaction. I would ask, what's loving to me right now? It might be loving to me to open to learning with the person and say, you know, this isn't feeling good, what's going on? It might be loving to me to disengage and say, you know, something's not feeling good here, I'm going to go in the other room. It's just whatever would be loving to you in that moment in an interaction with somebody or when you're by yourself if you're feeling bad. You know, you want to explore it, how you're abandoning yourself, and then you want to ask, what would be loving to me right now? What can I do to take care of? Like, let's imagine that you have a baby who can't talk to you, but the baby's crying. But you really want to take care of that baby. You're going to start thinking about, what can I do? How can I take care of this baby? Does this baby need to be held or fed or diaper changed? What does this baby need from me? It's that kind of attitude and energy, only it's toward ourselves. What do I need to be doing for myself so that I feel good and safe inside?
That makes sense. Thank you.
Okay, good. You're welcome. Well, we're about out of time here. I want to thank all of you for joining me this evening. It's been a pleasure to spend some time with all of you. I'm going to unmute so I can say good night to all of you. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. I hope all of you take care and have
good
a great rest of the week. Good night, everybody.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Peace.